Something good this morning. Luke chapter 8, if you would, when you find it, let's stand. Very, very common passage of scripture here. Every preacher, if you've been in church any length of time, every Christian has either preached or heard this preached, this passage of scripture in your life for sure. But I don't want to just approach it the same way we always do, like we already know it all. The Lord gave me some stuff here that I'd not seen yet. And what I appreciate about this is when you've been doing it for a little while and you've read these things before and then it comes time to preach through it or going through a book, it forces me to slow down and pay attention to some details instead of just running to, oh, I know that passage and ripping through it. And some things keep coming out that I had never noticed before. And so I hope to be a help to you this morning. The Bible says in Luke chapter 8, verse 1, and it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others it is not, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Skip down with me, if you would, please, to verse 18. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. Let's pray this morning. Father, we love you and we thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, we pray now that as we get into the Word of God here for just a little bit, that you would open up our hearts. Help every one of us to take heed to how we hear, that the Word of God can find fertile soil in this room this morning and fertile soil in our hearts and bring forth a change that might bring honor and glory to your name. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to preach to you this morning on the topic of take heed how you hear. Take heed how you hear. You'll notice in verse number 1, the very first phrase, I got looking at this thing and just wallowing in it a little bit this week and meditating on it. And something jumped out at me. It's that the Holy Spirit wanted us to not forget the story he had just given us at the end of chapter 7, because he says this, and it came to pass afterward. So he's making the point that after this story that I just gave you, here's what took place next. Let's not forget the story that he had given us was the story of a very wicked woman. The Bible in this passage in chapter 7 had called her a sinner. And in the Old Testament system, when the word sinner was used, it was used for somebody who was wicked and somebody who was vile, somebody who had no morality and no sense of right and wrong. They cared not for the Word of God. They cared not for the law. They were actually a wicked person, the kind of person that you would try to keep your children and grandchildren away from. And this woman comes in there where the Lord is eating at the Pharisee's house, and she anoints his feet and she's weeping and she wipes his feet with her hair. And the reason she's pouring it on the Lord like this is because she loved him a lot. And the reason she loved him a lot is because he had forgiven her for a lot. And I want to just stop for a quick second this morning and say I am thankful that we have a loving and a forgiving Savior. I'm thankful that he's not too good to allow us to come in and to serve him. The Pharisees sitting back and looking at the situation and judging her and critiquing her and criticizing her because of how she looked, I'm sure she did not look like a choir girl. I'm sure she did not look like a girl who'd been raised in church her whole life. I'm sure she didn't have that clean, clear, happy, pleasant complexion that comes with a life that has been given to you when you've been raised in a clean home, raised in church, given a clean life, had the privilege of being truly loved and cared for, not abused, not taken advantage of. Hey, this woman came from a bad background, and I'm sure it showed on her face. That Pharisee over there is all clean cut in his suit. His hair all combed just right. His big old Bible and his polished shoes. Looking over there at that wicked woman and thinking, man, Jesus sure must not be much, because if he knew who it was that was washing his feet, he wouldn't let that woman touch him. That Pharisee had no idea the heart of Jesus Christ. He had no idea the love that Jesus Christ had for that woman. And let me say, that is still something that is misunderstood nowadays. For some reason, people think if they're too wicked, if they've done certain sins, God can't save them. If I had a penny for every time somebody said to me, if I walked in your church, lightning would strike it. Who do you think you are? You think you're such a wicked sinner that God Almighty Himself doesn't have the power to forgive you and save you and change you? You are crazy, man. That is not the God we serve. He can forgive anybody. We get this attitude like we're so big and we're so bad and we're so wicked that God can't take care of us. Or on the other end of the spectrum, we get this attitude that they're so big and they're so bad and they're so wicked, they're so lost, they're so depraved, they're so low that God wouldn't have anything to do with them. Nothing could be farther from the truth. I'm thankful to serve a Jesus Christ who loves sinners, aren't you? Because I affiliate with the sinners. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say that the more I study my Bible and the more I know the law, the more I realize what sin is. And I begin to understand how subtle my adversary, the devil, is. And I begin to understand how wicked the flesh is. This Bible is a light, and it shines down into the soul, and it begins to show me that that Pharisee who thinks he's something special, that one who thinks he's so righteous, may be more, twofold more, the child of hell than the dope fiend and the alcoholic and the immoral person and the gangster and the wicked, the godless, the depraved. Hey, that Pharisee may be more possessed than those on the street. And I'm glad I got a God that can love absolutely anybody, because sin is subtle. If you think about the embodiment of sin, what would you think of? Let me make it a little more specific. Who would you think of? Not a human, but a being. If I thought about the embodiment of sin, I would think about Lucifer. You know what the Bible tells you he does? He appears as an angel of light and his ministers as ministers of righteousness. So the more I begin to understand my Bible and the more I begin to study and the more I learn about the Lord, and I see in my mind the Pharisee at the Pharisee's house in his suit, you know, I'm sure he had a watch on. Don't look too close. The battery's dead. It's just there for looks. I'm sure he had a ring on. I'm not wearing my wedding ring this morning. It's driving me crazy. It's because my dog cut my finger and it's been infected and the ring won't come on and off. So it's okay. I'm still married. Grace, everything's great. She's back there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And you can see the imprint because it never comes off, okay? I'm sure he's standing there all looking good, all feeling righteous, serving God. And over there, there's Jesus Christ, and he's just, I just see the Lord as being pretty laid back. He doesn't seem like a John the Baptist to me in my mind. He doesn't seem like an Elijah to me in my mind. He doesn't seem like a Mike Reagan at all in my mind. He seems like he's just always laid back, always got an answer, always thinking a lot of things he's not saying. And always ready to say something that needs to be said and knows how to say what needs to be. I mean, the more I study Jesus through the Gospels, the more I'm just like, man, he had to be something special. I mean, it would be so cool just to be able to be a little, like, I don't know, a gnat in the corner, a spider in a web, a mouse in the house, just sneaking around, just watching everything he did, just studying him all the time. There he is, just chilling at that Pharisee's house, and he's eating, and he knows what's going on in that guy's mind. He turns around, and there's a woman there, and man, she's a wreck. She's a mess. She's over there and she's wiping his feet and she's using her hair to clean it. And he's thinking, my goodness, girl. And in my mind, I'm not seeing a wicked woman. I'm seeing a heartbroken woman who's been hurt, who's done some things she's now ashamed of and wishes to God she'd never done and wishes she had a time machine so she could go back and change it. I'm seeing a woman that's burdened and broken and depressed and struggling, and a Jesus who loves her and forgives her and is there to help her, and I'm going to make something out of her. And I see pure evil, standing over there and looking at that woman like that angel of light. That one who has all the law, all the religion, he knows all the answers, he's faithful to church, and he's looking at that thing like, oh. And he's not only judging that wicked woman, he's judging the Savior. You see what I'm saying about sin, folks? Well, the reason I don't love the Lord and don't sell out to the Lord like brother so-and-so does is because I just don't have that background. He's forgiven much and loved me much. I'm not trying to re-preach last week. I'm trying to remind you that the Lord starts chapter 8 with a reminder that this comes after the story he just told us about. He wants it fresh in our mind that that woman was forgiven of all that she did for one reason. She put her faith in Jesus Christ because she knew nothing she could do could change the things she'd done. She knew she was shot. She knew it was over. She knew she'd broke the law. She knew she deserved hell. She knew there was only one way for her to ever see heaven's gates, and that was if she would put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And he says to her, thy faith has saved thee. Thy sins are forgiven. Then he says, afterward, he went preaching. Now the Lord's leaving with the context of faith in him. And he's heading out into the cities and he's preaching. And you'll notice it says here that he's preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Now you know, because you've been in church long enough now to understand that that means this is a spiritual kingdom he's preaching. He's not preaching the kingdom of heaven, which is a literal visible kingdom. He's preaching a spiritual kingdom. So this parable that he's about to give us is in the context of the kingdom of God. That means this will apply very well to us in this dispensation, in this time period. And you'll notice in verse number 2, certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him out of their substance. So here's the picture. Lord leaves, forgives this woman, leaves the Pharisee's house. No record of the Pharisee ever getting saved. No record of him ever getting a hold of who Jesus is. But this woman sure enough did. Now she goes, her life has changed, man. She's got something to live for now. All that stuff that's in the past, praise God, that's in the past. That's over. And now the Lord's going to use her. What a great thing that is, man. And so here he goes, he's going to go and he's going to start preaching the kingdom of God in all these cities. And it says here that certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities are with him. Not just them, but before that it says, and the 12 are with him. So you got the 12 apostles, they're with Jesus. You got certain women that have been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Boy, that right there will preach. There's so much more to that than what meets the eye. These women had so many problems. You realize sometimes these people that have these evil spirits and have these infirmities are there. Notice it says certain women. That stuck out at me. You know why? Because I believe what you have here is those that were oppressed by others, especially in that culture, in that day, that part of the world. You had people here that had lived a rough life, that had been sinned against, that had a bad background, had been beaten down and oppressed. Hey, they hadn't found a safe place to go in their whole life until they found Jesus. He's got some women with him that, boy, they had a rough time, man. Ladies, I know it ain't Mother's Day or none of that kind of thing, but you'd do yourself a real good favor to go through your Bible and study women in the Lord. They loved him, first to the sepulcher. They had a devotion to God. Your little bit more emotional side, you're putting women down. That ain't a put down. Maybe that's a compliment. Maybe we're a bunch of hard-hearted jerks. Amen, fellas? Praise the Lord. Your more emotional side, more tender heart, that means something to God. And you'll notice throughout your Bible, women loved the Lord and the Lord loved them and took care of them. You got a safe place to go when you have Jesus Christ. You have a safe place to run to. You have somebody there that loves you for who you are. He could care less if you got a green eye and a blue eye, if you're tall, short, fat, or skinny, if you're beautiful or uglier than a mud fence. He doesn't care. That means nothing to God. He loves you for who you are in the purest, most wonderful, most protective, most providing, most wonderful way. And the women were there worshiping him and ministering to him while he was preaching. They weren't the show-offs. They weren't the apostles. But they get mentioned here in the scriptures. And you'll notice what the Bible says about them. It says, which ministered unto him of their substance. Now, I notice a couple of things. You've got women that had evil spirits and infirmities. You got Mary Magdalene, who had seven devils. That's pretty bad. You have Joanna, the wife of Shusa, Herod's steward. He had some well-to-do people as well. He had some people that kind of had made it up the food chain. He had some people that were connected to the influential and the powerful. You know what all these people had in common? Certainly not their background. Certainly not where they came from. You look at the disciples and you've got all kinds of stuff going on. You've got a publican. You've got a fisherman. You've got all kinds of stuff going on when you look at this. You got a kid, John, a young one. You got all kinds of backgrounds going on. You know what they all had in common? They all had one thing in common. I hope it's the same thing we have in common this morning. They had ears to hear what the Lord would have to say. They had a heart for Jesus Christ. And you'll notice it came out because they ministered, which ministered unto him of their substance. You know what these people are doing? They're providing the carnal needs of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't mean carnal in the sense of carnal Christians. I mean carnal in the sense of physical. They are providing, these people that are going with him while he's preaching, they're just taking care of him. What'd you need, Lord? What'd you need, Lord? How much is that going to cost, Lord? No problem, Lord. Here you go, Lord. You hungry, Lord? Need a drink, Lord? No problem, Lord. Here, Lord, take my jacket. It's kind of chilly tonight. And all these people are doing is they're following Jesus around while he's preaching, and they're providing a place for him to do his work. They're making sure he's taken care of physically so his work could get done. You know, when you clean the church, when you give to keep the doors open, and those, see those lights? They turned on today. That heat back there. I walked in this morning and I set it to 68. The propane tank was filled, I think, Wednesday. Maybe Thursday. Wednesday. Robin, know exactly. You know what happened? Somebody put something in that box so that we could pay those bills, so that we can come in here and sit down this morning, and so we can say, Lord, do your work. It ain't any different than Luke chapter 8. I don't know who you are. I don't know if you're a Mary Magdalene. I don't know if you're one of the other women. I don't know if you're one of the disciples. I don't know if you're the woman at Jesus' feet. I don't know if maybe you used to be a Pharisee and you heard and you had ears to hear and you recognized like Paul did and you come out of that mess and now you're serious about serving him. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your background is. What matters? How you hear. There's a group of people with him that had heard, and as a result, they heard and they heard the right way. Now more people got to hear. So he begins to preach in verse number 4, when much people were gathered together and would come to him out of every city. So he had gone through the city on his little missionary journeys, and he had gone through preaching. And then after he went through and kind of planted the seed and stirred them all up and got all the attention, then he goes out and he sits down, and now all the people are coming out of the cities because they're wanting to come, like, hey, man, that street preacher, that crazy guy, that Jesus, that he's a nomad, and all them people that were following him around, man, he had some people over there that had a great background and some rich people and some powerful people, and he had some nobodies, and all those nobodies were hooked up with those powerful people, and they all loved each other, and they all treated each other right. and they're all just there ministering to Jesus, and man, something's going on. Those people are weird, man. Those people are different. I mean, there's like no mold to fit into. There's no good old boys club. None of that matters. All that matters is that all those people care about one thing. All those people seem to love that Jesus Christ. All those people seem to want to be with that Jesus Christ. Everybody's fighting over who gets to wash his feet. If there's any fighting going on at all, it's who gets to give him a blanket. It's who gets to pour his drink. It's who gets to cook his food. Hey, something's different about them. We need to go hear what he has to say. And all them people come out and gather around and they sit down. And Jesus gets up there and he begins to preach. And in verse number 4, he says he spake by a parable. Now, in your Bible, when Jesus is talking, he's either telling you a true story or he's telling you a parable. When he's telling you a parable, he tells you he's telling you a parable. God is not a man that he should lie. Men lie.
I'm a man of my word.
Okay, liar.
Really?
You can knock me out if you want to, but the truth is still the truth. We all lie. How are you doing today? Fine, thank you. How are you? It's good to see you. Good to see you too. Stop and tell me the truth. I think you're a dirtbag. I can't stand you. You're ugly. You smell. You're a freak. And you're too short. And your ears, they were bad before. Now look at them. You look like an idiot. Nobody's that honest, right? Please. Thank you. I appreciate it. You know what the Lord's not? He ain't a liar. So when you go through your Bible and God's telling you a story, when he tells you a parable, he says, this is a parable. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's why we don't believe Luke 16 is a parable. When he said the rich man died and was in fire, in hell fire, and in torments, he meant the rich man died and went to hell and burned in hell in torments. That's what he meant. Don't let some highfalutin, overly educated, money-grubbing, lying, salesman, slimy preacher tell you that's a parable. He's a liar. Jesus is not the liar. He's a liar. And when Jesus is telling you a story, he says, hey, this is a story that has a meaning. This is not an actual thing. And when he says it's actual, it's actual. You want to call him out on it? Then die and see him and call him out. You'll find out he was telling the truth. I ain't calling him out. I seen it. I got ears to hear, and I want to hear the right way, and I seen it. And that Bible says that he went to hell like that Pharisee did, like that wicked, sinful woman who put her faith in Jesus Christ and asked his forgiveness did not. So God gives us a parable. Now, he goes through this parable, and we read it already. And the funny thing is, when he gets down to the end in verse number 8, he says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Look at verse 18. He says, take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. So the Lord says, if you want to hear, hear. You want to hear this morning? You know what the problem with most people is? Most people come to church and they want their spouse to hear. They want brother so-and-so to hear, sister so-and-so to hear. They want their kid, my kids really need this. They want their kids to hear. Most people don't come to church and say, Lord, I want to hear. Tell me what you have to tell me. Lord, let's do business. He said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. If you want to hear this morning, God will speak to you. But then he said, but take heed how you hear. So there's two hurdles to get over. The first hurdle is just a willingness to even hear. The second hurdle is how I'm going to hear. Because can I promise you this? If you as a sinful human being hear from a holy God, he's going to tell you some things that do not set right with how you feel. And in a generation where religion is driven by feelings, that can be a complete stopper for everybody. I just didn't have a good feeling. I just didn't have a good feeling. Why weren't you saying that last night at the bar? Why weren't you saying that when you met up with your dope dealer? Why weren't you saying that when you were looking around at things you shouldn't be looking around at? Why weren't you saying that when you were cussing your spouse out in your heart and in your mind as you were walking away? Why didn't you say that when you were unthankful for your kids or for your dog or for your car or for your house or for the food you put in your mouth without stopping for a minute to say, thank you, Lord, for providing this food for my rotten, thankless little body and for keeping me alive one more day. Thanks, Lord. You didn't have a bad feeling about any of that, but that don't make it right. So just because I don't have a good feeling about that, look, when I got convicted of my need to get saved, I didn't have a good feeling about it at all. Nothing about realizing I'm on my way to hell has a good feeling to it. Sure had a great feeling once I trusted him. So take heed how you hear. It ain't going to hit you right away. But you better be careful not to judge God the way a man judges him. I want you to notice what we're supposed to be hearing. First of all, he says in verse 11, now the parable is this. So the Lord goes through because not even the disciples got it right away. That's why if you're studying your Bible and you don't get it right away, don't stress yourself out about that. I'm tired of people coming to me like, I just don't understand it. I just don't give up. That's okay. That's normal. You're just like the disciples. Is that good enough for you? Now he says, all right, guys, you want to know. And I'll tell you, the parable is this. The seed that the sower went out and sowed, you know what it is? It's the Word of God. Take heed how you hear, Christian. How I hear what? How I hear my Bible. This book that I hold in my hands, I believe with all my heart that it has the power of God right here in it. Johnny, we didn't come in the hospital and lay the Bible over your head and expect it to miraculously heal you. We're not talking about the Bible like it's some kind of a superstitious relic of religious. You know what it is? It's the very words of God Almighty. That's what it is. And we open it up to study it and to find out how to pray and how to walk with the Lord, and how to be saved, first of all. We go into that Bible because this thing is the Word of God. When God sows something, when that sower is Jesus Christ, and he goes out there to sow, he begins to sow something that is so powerful, folks. What you're getting this morning, but God help me to be a Bible preacher, because what you're getting when the preacher's giving you the Bible, and opening the Bible, and reading the Bible, and explaining the Bible, and teaching the Bible, and applying the Bible, and making you to understand the sense, and giving you the reading like the Bible talks about in the Old Testament. Hey, what he's doing is he's sowing a seed that the Holy Spirit of God is the one giving that thing out. And something can get done that will literally change lives and change eternities if a lost person's saved. The seed is the Word of God. And contained within that seed, little tiny seed. I ain't no farmer and I ain't no gardener. I'm not really a city boy, but I ain't no country boy either. I don't know what I am, a Bourbonite, I guess. But what I know is that little tiny seed don't look like much, can go completely unnoticed. But within, contained within a little tiny seed, all kinds of great things can come out. Right? Some of you farmers, some of you got chickens and all the rest of that stuff and your peppers and you get, thank God for you because I love them. It's a blessing every spring or summer whenever they're coming ripe. I don't pay attention, I just eat them. That little seed can produce a lot. You know what you got this morning in your lap when you got a Bible? You got the seed of the power of God in your life. And that seed may not look like much. And you might not understand everything there is to understand about it. But if you have ears to hear, that little seed will come down and it'll settle down in your heart. And with time, that thing will start producing some things in your life that'll change your life. The power is in the Word of God. The seed contains and self-contains all that you need to produce fruit. Notice the Lord's choice in sowing that seed. Look at verse 8. Other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. When he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. His disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? He said unto them, it is given unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others, in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand. So let's stop 1 second. This is weird. Because in and of itself, the seed has the power to produce fruit. We know that, okay? Amen. Praise the Lord for that. That seed is the Lord's seed, okay? Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But then he says this, hey, to them it ain't given. They ain't going to get it. It's going to produce nothing in their life. But to you, it's going to produce something. It's kind of weird. You know what the Lord has done? The Lord has sowed his seed everywhere. He ain't picky about who he gives it to. The Lord could care less if it's a woman with seven devils. Lord could care less if it's a woman from the street, a street woman who has made her living and provided for her addictions by using her body in a way where she allows people to abuse her constantly, destroying herself in order to feed that flesh. He doesn't give her the seed. There's that Pharisee standing there, all self-righteous and well-to-do and influential and clean-cut. And what the Lord does? Give him the seed. There's all the in-betweens. You know what the Lord does? He gives him the seed. 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 The seed's there for everybody and anybody that wants that seed. They can have that seed. He's throwing that seed out this morning, and there's a bunch of people sitting in here, and the seed of the Word of God is for everybody in the room. The Lord doesn't care. You say, preacher, you don't understand who I am, where I'm from, what I've done, how bad I've messed up. You know what? I don't have to understand because I ain't God. I didn't die for you. I didn't write it. I'm just here to preach it. I have had a gruesome discovery in my life. That was a rough one for me. I'm being serious with you. I found out God loves people that hate me. Now, I knew that up here, but I found that out. There's a big difference between knowing that up here and finding that out. I figured out God loves some people that I don't love. Yeah, oh, he said that. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm being for real with you, okay? God loves some people that I don't love. I come to find out that God wants to use me and has used me to help people I'd rather not help. Because God says, that's my seed, that's my spirit, those are my people. You're either going to serve me or you're not going to serve me. If you're going to serve me, shut up and do what you're told. I'm God, you're not. The seed goes wherever I want it to go, and I want everybody to get the seed. That's rough. But boy, it sure is good for a sinner. Sure is good news for a man who has other people that may not like him but knows that God does. Sure is good for somebody who's needing a little bit of help, ain't it? Sure is a blessing that the seed is there. The sad thing is that seed is so powerful, and yet rarely do you ever see that seed begin to produce the fruit it ought to produce. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me. If that seed is so powerful, why is it so rarely producing fruit? Well, it leads me to my second point. And all God's people said, amen. The second point is the problem. The problem, folks, is not the power of the Word of God. The problem is men. The problem is the hearers. The problem is those that won't hear, number one. Number two, the problem is those that will hear, but they won't hear the right way. Because he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said, take heed how you hear. Well, that seed is completely powerless if it doesn't have any soil in which to plant itself. So he's out there and he's sowing that seed. And he's going, look, man, I don't care where you're from. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how good you are. That ain't going to get you into heaven, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. There's none righteous, no, not one. All our righteousness are as filthy rags. Must I go on? Where do you get that notion that your good works is going to get you into heaven? I don't care if you're a Pharisee. I'll save you. Listen to what the Bible says. Get rid of your religion. Listen to the Bible. I don't care what street you're from. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what sin you've committed. Will you listen to me? I'll help you out. That seed will do something for you. Most people
I ain't hearing that. He ain't going to tell me what to do. Who does that preacher think he is? I know why he's got to yell so much. You see the spit coming out of his mouth? What's wrong with that guy? You know, some people react that way. Other people go, he might be a little crazy, but he believes what he's saying. I wonder if there's something to that. What's the difference? It's right here. It's right here. It's how they hear. The problem is not God. The problem is men. Verse 12. Those by the wayside, that was what he talked about in the parable, are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Amen. What was the problem? How they heard. Before that seed could even go anywhere, the devil showed up. See, back in verse number 5, when he was given the parable, he said the sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed. Some fell by the wayside. It was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. In your Bible, fowls are a type of devils, demonic spirits. Then he clarifies that in verse 12. He says, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts. You know what the devil want to do today, folks? He'll want you to sit here. He'll go, all right, I couldn't keep them from coming. They showed up. See, first thing he wanted was to keep you from coming because then you don't hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, you don't have ears to hear if you're not here. Different here, but you get it. So you came. Okay. Devil's not panicking. A good fighter knows not to panic. If you panic, you're going to get killed. He don't panic. He understands what he's doing. He's smooth, he's relaxed, and he's deadly. All right, he came. Chill out, guys. It's all right. He's talking to his imps or whoever he's got trying to mess with your life. And he says, just as soon as he walks out that door, hit his cell phone. Blow him up. Give him something serious to worry about. Distract him. Let an ex call him. Let her kids call her freaking out about something and, you know, throwing a fit. Just as soon as she gets out that door, let the phone ring. As soon as you can, distract her. Why? So we can snatch all that seed right out of that heart for it. Nothing will come of it. Just get that seed as quick as you can. What was the problem? Well, let me tell you, the problem's not the devil because he's always done what he does and he's going to keep doing what he's done until the Lord puts him in the lake of fire for eternity and we all praise the Lord for it. You know what the problem is? You and me letting him do his work. Because you got the power of the universe that just landed into your ears. You got the God of all glory, the God of the heaven and earth, the creator, sitting in heaven. And he can produce fruit in your life. And if you yield to the devil and you yield to temptation, you know what's going to happen? That seed's gone. And you know whose fault it is? Well, the devil made me do it. Knock it off. Didn't your parents teach you can't blame your brother or sister when you punched them in the face because they took your... whatever, you're a cookie, you're still in trouble. Don't blame the devil. You know what he's going to do. God told you what he's... we're not ignorant of his devices. God told you what he was going to do. You let him do it. Take heed how you hear. As soon as you walk out of here, the devil will hit you with something to snatch out of your heart and mind what it is God was trying to do for you this morning. That's how it works. The fowls come. Verse 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in a time of temptation, they fall away. You know what these people are? These are the hard-hearted. The hard-hearted. But when I say hard-hearted, you know the first thing you and I think? Ooh, he's hard-hearted. Look at him. He's tough. No. You know, most of the time the hard-hearted look like this, the ones that look like this, aren't necessarily hard-hearted. Some people look like this because they got troubles in their life. It's because their heart's hurting. You look at all those people, those kids nowadays, and they tat every piece of their body and pierce everything they can pierce, and they dress and dye and all this stuff, and everybody's looking at them like, you know what? That's not really the tough guy. Sometimes that's somebody crying out for attention. Somebody crying out for help. The hard-hearted don't, maybe not to you and I, we judge like a man judges. God looks on, man looks on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart.
People look at me all the time. What's wrong with you? Why are you mad? Like, who said I'm mad? You look mad. You look angry. Okay, well, I'm not. I'm thinking. I was born thinking. Never thinking much, so little normal stuff was hard for me to process. So I was really trying. That's why my face is like this. It was set this way. Doesn't mean I'm angry, but when you look at me, you think angry. You look at somebody who's hurting, and you go, man, they're mean. And they snap at you, and they're rude to you, and they shut you down, and they push you away, and you think, man, they're hard-hearted. That's not a biblical definition. You know what it might be? It might be that they're hurting. Hurting people hurt people. They might be more tender-hearted than you think. Some of the toughest, meanest, hardest, even criminals, actually, when you get to know them, really nice guys. Really tender-hearted guys. Really somebody actually you'd learn to trust. You know what I appreciate about a gangster? When a gangster tells you he's going to do something, most of the time, a real one. I'm not talking about these punks that walk around with their pants falling off and acting like a real one. You know what he's going to do? He's going to do it. Those guys got codes they live by. I appreciate it. They actually love sometimes more than some of these fine, upstanding, highfalutin, hard-hearted, smiling, well, I'm glad you came today. What can we do to help you out? I'm just here to serve you. You don't need that one. You need this one, and I'll cut you a special deal. Hey, can I give you a gospel track? Oh, I don't need that thing. I got a good church. I'm a believer, too, but thank you so much. Well, they anon receive it with joy. Walk into church. Oh, this is the best place. I mean, I've been in church my whole life, and I'm just telling you, we're so happy to be here, and I'm just so thankful. There's never been a preacher like you. You're the greatest. This church is just a family. Just want to just hug everybody. I'm just so pleased and blessed to be here. What happens? Oh, you don't think hard-hearted. You think, what a sweetie pie. What a blessing. And you know what happens with just a little bit of time? They're out that door. Why? They didn't come in with ears to hear. They didn't come in with a heart to receive the word of God. They came in, anon, receive it with joy. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't this wonderful? And then the preaching starts getting on a little bit. And toes get stepped on. And they don't get their way around the church. And all of a sudden, they're out the door. What happened to that sweet, wonderful, happy heart of, oh, I just love Jesus and so happy to be here, see? Not everybody that talks like they're a Christian and walks like they're a Christian and acts like they're a Christian is actually a Christian. And lost people say to me all the time, well, I knew a Christian once believes just like you do. And I say, well, maybe you did, maybe you didn't. Oh, yeah, I did. Oh, yeah, I did. Oh, I'm fire for God. Okay, good. What do you want me to say? Okay. But just because they pretend like they're a Christian does not mean they were actually a Christian. So don't blame God for the inconsistencies of some who claim to be his kids that may not actually even be his kid. Just because they anon receive it with joy doesn't mean they actually receive the word of God into good soil. And how do you know? Give it some time. When a time of testing comes, when a time of tribulation comes, when the going gets rough, when they fall off a roof and lay in a bed, they start saying, why would God do this to me? You know what's proof this man's genuine and that he's really born again and he really loves the Lord? Is he said to the preacher as early as he could even talk, he said, this ain't God's fault. This ain't God's fault, preacher. This ain't God's fault. I want to go to church. He had his Bible sitting up on the shelf and he'd point at it like that to me before his skull was put back. He'd point at it like that to me. King James Bible. He always knew King James Bible. Well, when the time of temptation came, he didn't take off. You know what that tells you? His heart's good soil. That's what it tells you. His heart's good soil. That in his time of trouble, in his time of tribulation, I'd be willing to bet most people in this room have never been through a valley that deep and that dark and that scary. I'd be willing to bet you that most people in this room have never rubbed shoulders with death as closely as this man right here did. Felt the cold grip of death around his throat. And always said, it ain't God's fault. I want to go to church. I want to go to church. Ain't God's fault. Well, there you go. Well, there you go. So if he walks in looking tough, he just looks tough. That's cool. You know what that don't mean? That don't mean he's hard-hearted. And he walks in all smiling and suited up. Not him. Another guy walks in all smiling and suited up. And, oh, let's do a Bible study. Let's do a Bible study. Don't you know the church has replaced Israel? You devil. You devil. I know the pastor believes this and your church stands for that, but let me just show you this. You devil.
Amen.
You're hard-hearted, man. You're hard-hearted. That book ain't producing any fruit. Why you got to be divisive? Maybe that fruit, maybe that seed ain't even in you. It ain't producing nothing. But there's heavy-hearted in here too. Verse 14, they which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Some, boy, they receive it. But they got problems, folks. They got problems. Some of you this morning, you got problems. And if you ain't careful, your heart is the ground where the seed of the Word of God is landing, and it's coming up. It's taking root and it's coming up. But your problems are so vast, so difficult, so hard to figure out, so real, so big, that those thorns are coming up around that little seedling and they're just beginning to kind of wrap themselves around it. And you're trying to hear from God and you're trying to see truth and you're trying to grow, but those thorns are just choking out that seedling and just trying to smash that thing so it doesn't bring forth any fruit at all. And that, to me, my heart goes out to them. Some of them, it's their own fault because they start running after the love of money. Some of them, it's their own fault because they're more concerned about the worldly things than they are the things of God. You're being choked out by thorns you're allowing to be there. Other people don't always allow those thorns there. Folks, we live in a dark, nasty, dirty, painful, wicked world. And it's going to get worse. And if you ain't careful, all those cares and concerns and troubles and struggles and strife and difficulties choke out the seed of the Word of God. And you ain't going to bring forth fruit. I'm going to be done with this last point. Look at verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. That's good ground. Preacher, you gotta explain that a little more. There's nothing more that needs to be explained. If your heart is good ground, you hear what he has to say. When you get a hold of what God said to you, you keep it. Are you sure you were saved when you got saved? Or do you think maybe you weren't really mean it when you meant it? Look, man, I know what God said to me. I know what I did. I'm hanging on to it. Amen. Are you sure your doctrine is right? Because there's some new studies coming out. Look, I've been studying for years. Somebody asked me recently, well, are you still teachable? Well, that depends on who's teaching. Amen. Not by you. But yeah, if God wants to show me something, or a man of God that I know, his testimony in life I know, and the fruit of his life I know, wants to show me something, then I'm all ears, whether I like what I'm hearing or not. Teachable ground, a good heart. Heart that hears what God has to say, receives what God has to say, and hangs on to that thing. Don't let go of what God's taught you. Paul tells Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Some things have been committed to you. Some things have been committed to me. I'm hanging on to them. You ain't walking in and changing my doctrine. Why? Because I'm just hard-headed and selfish and I think I'm the man? No. Because I know what God, the Holy Ghost, has showed me in that book. I know what that Bible's done for my life, Johnny. I know how it's changed me. I know how it's got me through. I know how it's helped me. I know how it's taught me. I know how it's whipped me. I know how it's healed me. I know how it's brought me back. And I've seen what it's done for you and the rest of you. And ain't none of you perfect. None of you have been perfect examples of what a Christian ought to be, but you're still here and you're still trying. That shows the power of that book. Hang on to it. Don't you let the devil choke it out, snatch out the seed, the cares of this life choke it out, and don't be one of those hard-hearted people who hears it, talks it, and doesn't walk it. Be that one who gets a hold of it and says, Lord, I hear what you said, I know what you told me, and I'm not letting go of what you taught me. No matter what happens, God, no matter what happens, God, no matter what happens, God, I know you now. Now I have you. And I don't want to let go of you. Why are you hugging your Bible, preacher? Well, because I can't get a hold of him yet. One of these days I'm going to wash those feet. One of these days I'm going to grab those feet and I'm going to lay at those feet and I'm going to kiss those nail-scarred feet and I'm going to thank him for what he did for me. But for right now, folks, this is the closest I can get to actually getting a hold of him, actually sitting alone with him, actually hearing him in the wee hours of the morning when the house is quiet and everything's dark and I got nothing but this thing to open up and to take a look at. Hey, folks, I know what he's given to me. I know what he said to me. And with God's help, no matter what comes up, no matter what goes on, I want to die faithful to him, keeping what he's given to me. Look at the last thing in verse 15. And bring forth fruit with patience. You know what's hard for you Christians? Us Christians, excuse me. You know what's hard for us? When we're good ground and we're trying and we want to do right, and we struggle. Am I really growing as fast as I should be growing? And I'm not growing and I need to grow. And you want to know the key to growing? I'll give you the key to growing. Patience. Patience. Take the pressure off yourself. Keep what God's given to you. Enjoy your life one day at a time where you're at. Quit being discontented. That's thorns. Quit complaining, quit grumbling, quit fighting against things you can't change. That's thorns. Be happy with where God's put you and what he's given you, and be patient. Why? Because the fruit will come. It's that simple. God, speak, thy servant here. Whatever you say to me, I do. That's good ground. Let's stand to our feet.